coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
We've got it.
The transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
We've got it.
When an opponent declares, "I will not come over to your side," I calmly say, "Your children belong to us already. What are you? You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in the new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing else but this new community." That was Adolf Hitler in 1939 in a radio address.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
And they then flash up in the official MSNBC promo Forward, which is the original name of the slogan for the Marxist, over 100 years old. It's like 120-something years old. And I shot a whole special video report on that that's up on Infowars.com. The state declares they own your children. And that was the MSNBC host or propagandist who directly worked for the White House. When you watch MSNBC, you are getting pure ambrosia poison directly out of the White House. That is their agenda on record. Your kids belong to the collective is the article by Kurt Nemo, red linked up at Infowars.com. It's a story that came out yesterday, but I've had our great web crew move it back to the top of the page, linked in red. Melissa Harris Perry. You know, I remember it was about 8 years ago, a caller called in and he said, "You're a liar, Alex." He said, "They're is no way that the official University of Texas textbook for social workers," and I was giving the name out, it was the Calhoun Reader, "there's no way," and Bob Dacey had actually brought this to my attention, local talk show host, he had a copy of the textbook that family had been given going to UT, and the people didn't believe me. And so I had some of my writers go do research, and they pulled up hundreds of publications that were then posted on the Prison Planet forum, where they officially teach they're going to get rid of the family. So when you hear them say, "Oh, it's everybody's job to take care of kids," they mean get rid of parents, you know, don't let parents discipline their kids, and that only the state can discipline your children, and then your kids will stay late at school, and then no more summer recess. And the TV's already raising our children anyways, and the brainwashing that comes across the iPhones and the iPads and the droids and the rest of it. But they officially, in every authoritarian society for thousands of years, the state has controlled the youth. And Hitler knew that. I mean, he talks about taking over the youth in Mein Kampf. You know, I mean, I've read myself Hitler's words. The Soviets, obviously, he borrowed a lot from. The communists, they have, of course, done the same thing. I was actually sent video by some folks. I think we've shown this on air before. I know it's on. I was going to put it in a film. I know it's in Rob Jacobson's hard drive one of our graphics guys, a contractor years ago, went to visit with his girlfriend, her family in China, and caught on video the youth brigades with red flags marching aggressively through the streets. Pretty powerful footage. This is what they're establishing. This is what they're setting up. So we're going to get into that. We'll have the latest from the DMZ, where a world-famous negotiator and hostage negotiator and PSYOP expert, Dr. Steve Pachinik, psychiatrist, will be joining us from the DMZ. It's about 6:04 over there right now. Trust we've made contact with him to make sure he's ready in about 55 minutes. Good, he's locked and loaded. We've got huge news with Biden calling for a new world order, and then Gawker makes fun of it. Oh, conspiracy Christmas comes early, because they were just saying last week you know, in a major poll that the poll, do you believe in the made-up New World Order conspiracy theory? It's like saying, do you believe the sun came up this morning? Are you a kook? So we'll break all that down. It's a big broadcast today.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, we are here live and then back Sundays live 4 to 6 p.m. Central. It is lucky number 7. It is the 7th day of April 2013 on this worldwide transmission. I am your host, Alex Jones. The news websites are Infowars.com. That's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and we're streaming video and audio as well for radio listeners that would like to see another added dimension to the radio broadcast at InfowarsNews.com on our subscription service, PrisonPlanet.tv. And don't forget, we have Operation Awaken the Sleeping Giant. You can find out about right there at PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay, where to start today? Where to begin? I want to read you a quote from a 1939 radio address that Adolf Alois Hitler gave. You may have heard of him. When an opponent declares, "I will not come over to your side," I calmly say, "Your children belong to us already. What are you? You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in the new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing else but this new community, Adolf Hitler." And he said similar things years before in his book, Mein Kampf. Now, the communist system in Russia, the communist system in China, Fidel Castro's Cuba, everyone knows that in these countries, the police wear black masks, the state turns the children against the parents, the state tries to raise the kids in dormitories, and really raises a generation of tax police and other enforcers out of children that they have CPS'd for very petty reasons via the Soviet or Nazi courts. The Romans just came in and killed all the adult age men down to about age, 13, 14, and then re-educated everybody. And so ancient empires just killed all the men and then took the women and children as slaves and then took the smarter ones to basically be enforcers, but still chattel slaves. They would be so proud of being a war slave, though. They had large brigades in the Roman Empire from the end of their republic on till their decline and the splitting into two empires, but I'm digressing, of special slave mercenaries who were proud of their slavery. That was passed on to the Prussians in Germany, of course, and that's where we get kindergarten. All the modern brainwashing systems we have today are designed to make people follow orders and be happy in their servitude. The Hessians were German slaves brought here to wage war on us in 1776, tens of thousands of them. So, but there was the prestige. Even if you were a slave, Hessian, you still had a fancy uniform and black, goose-stepping boots. But I'm digressing, ladies and gentlemen. You know that authoritarian states try to take over the children. And I have read on air the official textbooks used by every major Western university. They all tell the people aspiring to be government minions and enforcers to have a disdain for the family, a disdain for men. If you turn on any sitcom or drama, men have been run down for 50 years as moron idiots with women bossing them around the new commanders. They are the house slaves. The Romans would bring in the women. Even as the boys grew up, they were kept out in a barn and not allowed to learn how to really speak. You don't want men knowing how to stand up. That was passed on to black slaves in the Caribbean, in South Central America, and, of course, here in the United States. That's why you've heard of that before with the woman, the house slave in charge. Well, that actually came out of Rome, mainly with white slaves. But side issue, feminism is not about empowering women, makes them the house slaves. They have a more pejorative name for it that black folks tend to use for it. But it's the people that are in the house And that's what the police and the bureaucrats and the FBI and all them are. They're the house slaves. And then those of us that aren't part of the federal family, we're the barn slaves. I mean, that's how it's all set up. That's how it's looked at. And so that's what they've established. And they all write handbooks on it. And I shot a special report up at Infowars.com. The state declares that your children are slaves is the name of the video. The article is MSNBC host. Your kids belong to the collective. So my issue is I'd talk about this 15 years ago, 7 years ago, and people would say you're a liar. Even when I was on the radio with the official textbooks, in one case, the Calhoun Reader, used at the University of Texas for their social workers. And it said, quote, the family belongs to the age of barbarism and is a form of mental illness. And you can also pull up the head of the National Association of Psychiatrists in the 60s saying the same thing. So they sell it as a new human right to not have a family because they want you all alone, completely alone. That is the great goal of every authoritarian society. In fact, I ought to send somebody down to the microfilm, or we should get a LexisNexis subscription. I had a Thomson Reuters subscription about 6-7 years ago, but I never used it, so I got rid of it. Guys, on Monday, get a Thomson Reuters subscription and a LexisNexis. Google's great, but you can't find stuff, you know, year 2000 and back good on the web. Okay, so I want the 2000 Austin American Statesman. When I caught bribery at the Capitol, it was the cover story in the Metro and State. About investigation of bribery that we caught on video, and I was there testifying. They were just paying them off out in the hallway, and they later had a state hearing, you know, finding that it was illegal what happened, and the individual over the committee got censured and things. The point was, is that they quoted one of the handgun control, I think it was Violence Policy Center. They quoted them and they're saying, I don't care what Mr. Jones does. We're going to get your guns one day. We've got your kids. I mean, I want that quote. I probably read that quote 50 times on air. 50 times. And I want to resurrect that and actually show people that. So LexisNexis on Monday. Because I want to show people that. And you know, there it was saying, it doesn't matter. We've got your kids in the public school, and we will ban guns in America. That's why I get so mad at people like Piers Morgan when he says, I don't want your guns. Bull! By the way, it came out this week. We've got them coming on later in the week. The Veritas Project, they told me about this weeks ago before they went and did it. They went to the house of Piers Morgan in Hollywood. He's got armed guards. But he doesn't want you to be able to, who can't afford, you know, you don't have an $8 million a year contract or whatever like he does. You know, you're just a poor guy, makes $60,000 a year. Of course, Michael Moore says you're rich and you're a bad guy. And you know, if you maybe make $60,000, and it's racist to own a gun. Remember that clip 2 weeks ago? But of course, he's got armed guards too. I've seen them, but it's on record he has them. That's why I get so mad. They want our guns to dominate us, period. Everywhere they're in control, they take all the guns. So stop playing the game and arguing, hey, violent crime dropped 49% since 1991 because of proliferation of gun ownership, FBI.gov. They don't want to hear that. They have got an agenda of foreign banks that have captured this country to take our guns, and they're saying, hey, Hitler said we've got your kids. The gun control group said it doesn't matter what Alex Jones does. That was their answer to Alex Jones caught all this going on at the Capitol. Their answer was, we got your kids, and we're going to get your guns. Mr. Jones isn't going to stop us. And that's why I'm angry at them. They're authoritarians, and they know it. It's not like they're misguided. Now, here is MSNBC host in a TV ad they're running. It's not like it's something they just said flippantly. This is a TV ad they're running saying, your kids don't belong to you. They belong to the collective. Here it is.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
And they have an actual original Marxist slogan lean forward on the screen while she's saying this, knowing 99% of Americans don't know that's the original name of the first Marxist newspaper and their slogan, you know, Karl Marx slogan. I mean, it's just hitting us hard. And like they said, hey, while you're watching your football, buddy, we got your kids. 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 And now they're taking veterans' kids who've had an arm or leg blown off saying they're depressed. Now they're taking people's guns if they have one marijuana cigarette and their kids. These are authoritarians. This is a persecution taking place.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Here's an example of the total information overload. If you're up at Infowars.com, I have a link to a Fox News story about an FBI police training manual. This has also been issued to the U.S. Army training instructor listed for domestic operations, of course. That's completely illegal in a free country, but we're just seeing the end of posse comitatus. Army labels evangelical Christians Catholics, period. Period. Catholics, Christians, period, and some Jews religious extremist. And this is Fox News. Now, if you watch my film Road to Tyranny from 2002, we show these same manuals, just the older versions. And people would see that and say, this isn't true. I would show Marines training to confiscate guns and admitting it, that it's for America. People would say, there's no way that's got to be fake. When it was clearly, you know, thousands of Marines, Hebron, Maryland, you know, on the East Coast, West Coast. No way it's fake. Look at that, Fox News. Army labels evangelicals as religious extremist. Boom. You can click and read the Army training manual. And ladies and gentlemen, it just says point blank, evangelical Christianity. Period. Orthodox Jews. Next to it, Al-Qaeda. Which, by the way, the AP announced they're not going to call them Al-Qaeda anymore. Or even Islamists, because they were using them in Libya and Syria. They got Hamas, Ku Klux Klan next to Christian. Catholicism, period, is extreme. And you're like, well, that's incredible. Oh, and if you're Islamophobic, see how they're going to totally flip it? In fact, guys, I printed in IMs, and I don't see it in my stack. Type in Army trains to take on Tea Party. It's Forbes. I want to show people that. The Army's main mission, this is official from West Point, and the Army War College is to take on gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. By the way, you're not tuning in to satire here. This is what it's like to be under a revolution. The globalists are involved in a revolution, in a takeover. They call us in their higher-level Ford Foundation manuals and in the different hearings that have come out with the Weathermen. They call us counter-revolutionaries. And you better believe that's what we are. We're the Americans. There it is, how the U.S. military would crush a Tea Party rebellion. And it goes on to talk about how in the new Army War College, and they're even teaching this at West Point, their main mission. Now listen, I'm reading you Fox News right now and Forbes. In fact, guys, if you're watching on TV, you can see this. Go back to my screen, foxnews.com. Now, again, I would tell people this. I would tell program directors this, big, vice presidents at major, you know, networks, presidents, and they would say, oh, Alex, it's not that bad. And I'd say, oh, I've got the training manual. A few years ago, I had Nightline here trying to show them this. They go, we're not going to look at it. Look at this. Catholicism, period, is extreme and next to Al-Qaeda. Evangelical Christian, period. Terrorism. And they've got it right next to Al-Qaeda and the Al-Qaeda flag. I mean, this is America. Ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't even intending to get to this today. Now, let me tell you, who are the extremists? Is it Catholics and Protestants, people with the lowest crime rates out there, or people that are church attending? The FBI.gov has all the numbers. They know somebody, whether they be Catholic or Protestant, whatever it is, that attends church on a regular basis, has the lowest crime rate out there for whatever reason. They know veterans have one of the lowest crime rates out there. Just the media hypes up when there are events. They know white males have the lowest crime rate of a, quote, racial group in this country, period. And we're listed as the number one terror threat. Now, you got to have some bad guys to be saying this, okay? Look, it's like when I got video of FEMA that the police sent me A firefighter sent me his police and firefighters in Kansas City with them bad-mouthing George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and saying they were terrorists, and anybody that likes the Constitution's a terrorist. I got 18 hours of this. People didn't believe it, even though I had the training manuals when it was said. Now it's Fox News. You're going to believe me? Listen, I stand with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, and I stand with Jesus Christ. And if you want to say I'm a terrorist, you're the terrorist, period. I have, knock on wood, no criminal record. I've probably been arrested 7-8 times as a juvenile in fights, but it was always found I didn't start them. But I'm a good person, okay? I love my family. I walk old ladies across the street.
You know, Alex Jones, you piece of garbage.
Excuse me. Anyways, the point is I'm listed, you're listed as an extremist. You know why I'm dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, to the entire power structure? Is because I simply am old-fashioned, I'm a throwback, and I can see traitorous criminal activity when it's sitting in my living room. I go to the zoo, I go, that's an elephant, that's a tiger, that's a lion, that's a penguin, that's a grizzly bear. But you tell the general public, you know, they tell them a lion is a Easter bunny, they'd believe it. And now they've got MSNBC host Melissa Harris Perry saying your children belong to the state. Folks, they've always been teaching that for really 100 years in the progressive movement in this country. 100 years. And the weird thing about it is they're not even well-meaning idiot liberals. These are hardcore eugenicist authoritarians that know exactly what they're doing. Do we have her queued up? Let's play. This isn't a promo. This isn't on a show where she just showed us what she really thought. They're running this every 2 hours. I looked it up. Tuned in, boom, it was on there. They're running promos. See, people say, oh, be nice, be for gay marriage. I personally have nothing against people for their passions and what they're into, okay? I don't judge people. My issue is, though, it is the, quote, gay and lesbian lobby, the dominant ones, that are always bad-mouthing the family and wanting to teach sex ed to five-year-olds. I mean, the UN wants to teach masturbation to five-year-olds. That's pedophilia. So the issue is, you see, this is all part of an attack on the family, discrimination against men and women, to break up our society, to make us alone so the state is our mommy and daddy. That's what the communist, the fascist, all this is what they do. It's like going to a football game and 11 people line up on each side and they've got a pig skin and it's football. Well, this is tyranny. It's like, it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck. It is. There it is. UN wants to teach preschoolers about masturbation. I'm sorry, it's even below five. I mean, you know, the fact they do it in America. Remember when you were a kid in kindergarten, you went and took a nap after lunch 15 minutes? That's not what happens now. The pedo teacher teaches that, but it's the state, so it's okay. But then if you take a photo of your daughters, you always see these cases of your son in their towel and one girl's hugging the other girl, they're both in different towels, they arrest the parents and take their kids. And then they don't ever get them back. Or you get pulled over and they find a bowl of marijuana, which is certainly a lot better than alcohol, and I don't even like pot or, you know, period. I like alcohol, quite frankly. The point is they take your kids. I see. I did a video about this showing a few news articles about people having their kids taken for, you know, a bowl of marijuana. Even if it's true, they shouldn't get in trouble for it when the government ships in the hard drugs. We're going to go to break here in just a moment. And people were all in the comments on YouTube going, yeah, happened to me, happened to my brother. Yeah, they take over 1.5 million kids every year in this country. But if a kid's really getting hurt, they leave them with their bad parents. They want good kids to adopt out. They're targeting good families. We'll be back.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
So the U.S. military, the FBI, local police are all taught that gun owners are extreme terrorists, that Christians are extreme terrorists, that returning veterans are the number one terror threat in America because the globalists have set up the fifth branch of the military under NORTHCOM, Homeland Security. It's buying billions of bullets, armored vehicles. It's openly preparing for the complete overthrow of our republic. And they've got people on TV saying the state controls your children. They've been putting Jocelyn Elders back on TV. You know, back in the 90s, we found a clip of it coming up. She's like, teach kids how to masturbate. Now she's on TV going, reach down and help the little kindergartners. And again, this is the type of garbage that is happening and going on here in this country. And it's now time that we understand they're over the top on purpose to just shock you into a mass Stockholm syndrome or learned helplessness, a normalcy bias. A normalcy bias is, and I've used this example 1,000 times, if you could teleport 1,000 years back to what's Mexico City today and they were sacrificing dozens of people every day when the sun came up and when it went down and when the moon came out, and on certain holidays, thousands of people, and the priests made their money off selling the humans hanging up by their feet, human meat was the main food, you would say, this is crazy. And they would say, we're going to sacrifice you, buddy, okay, because you're crazy. We do this. This is normal. If you teleported back to 1944 to a Nazi death camp where they were lining up men, women, and children and shooting them in pits, and you said, this is wrong, they would think you were crazy. And so now they're like, hey, the state's going to take your kids, and any excuse we get, we catch you drinking 2 beers and driving, your kids are gone. We catch you with marijuana, your kids are gone. You got a leg blown off, we're going to say you're depressed, you're a military vet, we're going to take your kids. Millions of vets are getting letters saying you can't own guns anymore. This is happening right now, and it's not even a news issue. And they come out and say, yeah, we're training to take on the Tea Party now, that's what Homeland Security's for. Yeah, we're training to do all this. They're throwing it all in your face big time. Now, let's go ahead and go to this clip. MSNBC host, your kids belong to the collective. This article is up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now, linked in red. MSNBC host, your kids belong to the collective. And folks, this is every day. Okay, every day. There's stuff like this, and this is in a promo they're officially running. And MSNBC is full of White House operatives. So is Media Matters. And who do they attack every day? You guessed it, Alex Jones. Calling me an extremist because I don't believe Catholics and Protestants are extremist terrorists. Because I don't believe the Founding Fathers were bad people, they were amazing. Because I don't believe it's a good thing to take the citizens' guns when more guns means less crime. When I know we have authoritarians taking over. If you go to the front page of Infowars.com, I typed in Hitler Youth. I have a famous Nazi poster of Hitler with the children. And remember, he said, when an opponent declares, I will not come over to your side, I calmly say, your child belongs to us already. What are you? See, you're little, you're nobody. You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in the new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing else but the new community. And that's what the MSNBC host is saying. See, once they collectivize you with collectivist healthcare, collectivist education, they can then argue, hey, we got to say what you can eat, what you can drink, where you go, what you do, because we're all paying for it, forcing you to go on welfare. Forcing you to get into the system with corporate contracts. It's all about control because they want the control. And good people don't want control. We don't want to go to city council. We don't want to go run for state rep. We don't want power. We're quietly confident, inwardly secure. We're embarrassed by people that dress up like peacocks and are into, you know, all this garbage. Well, you know what? If we don't take control through the republic and restore the republic, the very worst will take over. See, once you get a corrupt group in, they get overthrown by the next group that's even more corrupt, and then even more corrupt, and then even more corrupt. And whether it was the Babylonians, or whether it was the Druids, or whether it was African animus tribes, or whether it was Mesoamerican Aztecs and Mayan groups, Toltecs and others, every culture from the Vikings to the Greeks, they don't really teach that in popular history, but it's buried. They would just burn your wife with you if you died. The Vikings. Gladiatorial events with the Greeks and Romans started when the man of the house would die. They'd have a few of the slaves kill each other in combat ritually because he was a warrior at the funeral pyre. That's human sacrifice. Every culture ends with crazy people, psychos, getting control, and they demand human sacrifice. Every culture. That's the bottom of the rabbit hole. Ritualized mass death, and where your neighbor's being torn apart in the arena this week, you'll be torn apart next week, and no one has empathy, and civilization finally implodes. In fact, that's not the final step. Human sacrifice, gladiatorial events, is not the final step. It's the final step before everything collapses. Because then the only next decadent thing the leadership can do is launch wars they can't win or commit suicide. The Roman emperors, Caligula and others, and that was long before the collapse, would kill themselves, kill their family. Nero, again, would go to those Roman parties where they had vomitariums where they would eat till they vomited over and over again. And he would dress as a werewolf and tie small children to a pole. Pull this up, written about by mainline Roman history. And he would go and tear children's throats out with blood spraying all over him. That's North Korea, folks. That's the state is God. A little stunted, pot-bellied wimp ruling everything. We got a frontline report from North Korea with the guy that did the Camp David Accords, the top psychiatrist, the Harvard psychiatrist, the guy that co-wrote Tom Clancy's books, very famous living psych warfare specialist, probably one of the biggest out there, overthrown countries, you name it. He was involved in the transition of South Korea from a military dictatorship in the 70s to what it is today, the industrial engine of Asia, and really the world per capita. He's there on the DMZ. He's going to be talking to us about that whole crisis. That is, again, out-of-control government on power trips. But let's go to this clip. MSNBC host, your kids belong to the collective. Here it is.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
And you had elders, the back under Clinton, the Surgeon General, and she's been back on TV, out there saying, the government needs to reach down and help the kids learn how to do this. Now, if you went in a public bathroom and ran up to a kid and grabbed their crotch, you go to prison for 50 years, and you should. But if the state, this goes on all over America, you can't stop them. They're the government unless you fully wake up to them. They're in there teaching kids how to masturbate because the truth is they're a bunch of pervs. Most of these people that want power have never really lived and never gone through the rites of combat growing up when they're young and never don't come from good families. Big government's kind of a collection of scum. So are corporate swarms. They're like weak people that hate the strong. And people that aren't politically developed and things, they're usually sexually crushed as well. So they're at the level of a child or they're pure Satanists like to abuse children. And that's why they want to put their hands on your kids. And they're going to take them from you because you're a veteran or you're a pot smoker, and they're going to hurt them. You're 7 times more likely now. It was 5 times. It was 3 times a few decades ago. More likely to be abused in government custody as a child than anywhere else. The most dangerous place is for a child in government. Who do you think gets into government agencies to be around kids? I mean, I told you the whole Sandusky thing. It was the whole top of the university. That's now come out. The connections to the National Security Agency. Look it up. They can't bring it down. Because the whole thing, it's a pedophile guild. They want your kids, folks. They didn't have them. They didn't raise them. They don't love them. They're sick freaks. Children are so good and so innocent to these demons, they want to hurt them. And so they say they belong to them. Now, I've got clips coming back where they say you've got to do national service. Paying taxes isn't enough. They're going to make you their slaves. They're going to make you their slaves. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Nobody rides for free. And that's a clip I'm going to play here in a moment, is Rahm Emanuel saying everyone will serve under national service. And that's part of the FEMA Corps official charter. They're now graduating high schoolers and college people who want to get government funding in their new little uniforms. They train in things like warrant service and gun confiscation. And it's all official. Giant black armored vehicles are being bought by the thousands. The bullets. ATF just put out a new federal bid for data mining stuff to spy on citizens, web traffic without warrants. And meanwhile, they'll probably just come out and say it doesn't exist. Oh, there's no bullets. There's no armored vehicles. We're not warrantlessly spying on you, but we are. But we are. Oh, we don't. The state doesn't want to take your kids. I saw a case 2 years ago in homeschooling. California banned it with a law unless you had a state teaching certificate, a degree in teaching. Doesn't matter if homeschoolers win all the spelling bees and colleges crave them and they have the highest test scores on average per capita worldwide. Facts don't matter. The state said in the court hearing, they said, well, the state now controls the children and is the guardian over the parents, period, not just when they're at school. Now, the court struck that down. But the state argued in California, they run your kids. Kind of like California gives inoculations without parental consent, saying we are the guardian now. I mean, incredible. And you're like, well, the shots are to keep us safe. Uh-huh. Have you read what the insert says, folks? It's amazing. So I've played the clip of MSNBC in a commercial saying your kids aren't your kids. We've got to get past this idea, this private idea that your kids are your kids. They're not. They're the collectives. And then you've got Rahm Emanuel saying, oh, you've got to serve. If you actually read the plan, it's 3 months every year up until you're 60-something. That's in the official legislation they brought in. But publicly on C-SPAN, he says, a few months every year. This is what they're planning. But first, here's Obama. He said this 5 years ago, campaigning his domestic security force. And by the way, it's out there now. Clergy response team, preachers that spy on you, InfraGuard, business people that spy on you. It's directly out of the Soviet Union. Here it is.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
If you had 20 traits that you went down a checklist of a tyranny, all 20 are completely checked, right out of a textbook. This would like be going to a NASCAR race, and NASCARs are going around, and you go, what is this? And I go, it's a NASCAR race. Conspiracy theorist. Yeah, 30-something percent of Americans in a new public policy poll. It's way above that, a Democratic Party operative group on record. They believe in the imaginary New World Order. Imagine the question. Do you believe in the imaginary New World Order conspiracy theory? Oh, well, no, I don't believe in the imaginary corporate world government run by megabanks that are bragging they've set up world government everywhere. And there it is, Business Insider. A ridiculous number of Americans believe in crazy conspiracy theories, like a New World Order, new public policy poll shows. First, though, let's go to Rahm Emanuel, because I tell people they're already establishing national compulsory service. It's not enough to pay if you actually work more than 60% in some form of tax. Now you've got to do more to be a citizen. You've got to serve domestically. Again, they want our guns, but their people, their new Yugen, they're going to be armed. Here it is.
Citizenship is not an entitlement program. It comes with responsibilities. Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training and understanding in a kind of civil defense. That universal sense of service, somewhere between ages of 18 and 25, will give Americans, once again, a sense of what they are to be American and their contribution to a country and a common experience.
By the way, I was in the Civil Air Patrol. My dad was really involved in it growing up. That's why I was involved in it. But, we go flying around and stuff when there was fires and stuff, spotting or on rescue missions. He mainly did that. But I was into it somewhat. And back then, it was truly civil defense, the people organized. And then they would just be called upon in missions and emergencies. They're getting rid of that in the Civil Air Patrol. It's all under Homeland Security, all under the Air Force. And they're right. It's all real creepy. Spy on this, spy on that. Again, that's totally converting. I've talked to folks I know that are still in it. Again, you're not trusted in this unless you're part of their group because it's a foreign takeover. Remember, the Army's now taught for domestic operations, Catholics, period, evangelical Christians, period, are extremist terrorists. I just showed you Fox News. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we've come to. Now, let's play Biden. This was on Friday. Vice President Joe Biden threw caution to the wind as he shockingly declared the affirmative task we now have is to actively create a new world order. He said this is the big import-export trade federal event, adding yet another admission to the already long list of documented globalist bragging of plans for a centralized one-world government at the Export-Import Bank Conference in Washington. I'm going to play the clip here, but the issue is I did a special report last week because the media was saying there's no such thing as a global government with scores of clips. You can just type in bankers declare they've conquered America and Europe, and you'll find some of the clips, but I put it all in one report where they're all announcing global government, we engineered the financial crisis, we're going to implode the world economy, bring in a cashless society, SDR, we're going to need $100 trillion in taxes a year. This is Davos, you know, on C-SPAN. I mean, I sit there for hours and just, my wife's like, can we watch a movie? And I'm watching, you know, all the world leaders, like a public Bilderberg meeting, which people like Glenn Beck says, you know, don't exist, I'm bad to cover it. I'm like, man, come on, cover the whole thing, bro, don't be afraid. And I'm watching them say all this. I mean, you guys type in, banks want $100 trillion in new liquidity, in new credit, which means our tax money. And they're announcing what the world government is, an autocratic, centralized government run by private megabanks. The Financial Times of London 4 years ago wrote a headline, and now for world government, their foreign editor, Bilderberg Group attendee. And he says, yeah, we're autocratic, we're authoritarian, we've been secretive, but we know best, we're taking over. He admits in the article, okay, you've exposed us. Doesn't matter, you ought to join us. I mean, I've had Rothkopf, the head of the Kissinger Group, on my show. And I said, why'd you come on my show during the break? And he goes, I want to convince you we're the right way to go, Mr. Jones. And, you know, you're a very important person. You're part of the super class in your own way, you know, leading the resistance. So you could do well. We'd like to hear what you have to say. And I could instantly go join them and I'd be a U.S. senator or whatever. Or I'd be the next Rush Limbaugh. Okay? If you just engage them and be their buddy. Do you know how real all this is? The only reason I can tell you the Rothkopf story is when they tell me this stuff is off record now, because I have a journalist hat, I can't talk about it if it's off record. I can talk about it because Rothkopf, you know, they're on the phone line during the breaks talking to me. John Harmon's hearing the whole thing 5 years ago. He wrote Superclass bragging about all this. And he's like, no, I don't care if you say that I say you ought to look, you know, work with us. We're trying to save the world. Well, the answer is no, you're not. No, you're not. You're destroying the family. You're bringing in tyranny, and I've had enough of it. So here's Biden saying new world order. There it is. World needs $100 trillion more credit a decade, says World Economic Forum. When you read it, it's a tax to them. They want to shut down productivity, folks. It's incredible. And then their propagandists say they're saving the world. Here is Biden calling for a new world order, and they define it in the whole speech as a global economic system controlled by private banks. Here it is.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and the rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened, and some have to be changed. So we have to do what we do best. We have to lead. We have to lead. We have to update the global rules of the road. We have to do it in a way that maximizes benefits everyone.
You know, if you go pull up my clip, it's up on Infowars.com. Here, let me actually pull it up. Give you the exact name. It's got scores of clips where they say this is global governance. This is world government. It's the War on Reality Special Report. That's the name of it. And if you just type that in, the War on Reality Special Report, I'll get the webmaster, the Sunday crew, to repost that up at the top of Infowars.com. I have them defining. They go, what is New World Order? It is global governance run by private central banks, head of the EU, head of Britain, head of the U.S. They say this at these meetings. I'm watching it, and they say under this, there'll be no families. They're going to make us live in government dormitories in 200-square-foot little coffin deals. Bloomberg's already trying to make it the law while they're all exempt from it, living like kings. Prince Charles, second hour coming up. Stay with us. Report from North Korea.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You know, in the last hour, I talked a lot about the collectivist, and at the lower levels, they're a bunch of idiots. I saw a video last week on the show when Mike Adams was sitting in, the health ranger, naturalnews.com, doing a great job. He played that clip of that Colorado State rep saying, we got to ban 15-round mags and up, because after you shoot the bullets out of them, you got to throw the mag away. They're no good anymore. And so low level, they're complete morons. The globalists mainly, it's not a conspiracy at the low level because they just get idiots that are yes men and yes women that are dumber than a box of rocks, and they count on you being dumb. But higher up, the collectivists are people that understand how humans operate. And most people that learn how humans operate, they go and use it to manipulate people like their cattle just so they individually, monetarily get ahead. And that's not my philosophy. My philosophy is to lift you up so that you lift up my family as well, because I don't need to believe in karma, mojo, reap what you sow. I feel it. And I'm not somebody that gets jealous of a guy that has a beautiful wife or a beautiful home or writes an incredible book. I admire them. And I grew up thinking everybody was like me. And I'm not saying I'm virtuous or anything either. I'm competitive as the next person. And if somebody crosses me, I have big problems with wanting to destroy them. It's just that I have a sense of justice. And I'm a team player, which is the opposite of being a collectivist. I'm about the individual, but also working with others to build something greater, if you choose under free will. Now, we got Dr. Pachanik. We're getting lined up here from the DMZ there in Korea to cover that crisis coming up. And I'll get into other news after he leaves us. But let me punch up for TV viewers. If you're a radio listener, go to Infowars.com. I went and swam in the river today downtown. Did some exercise. Only had time to swim a mile. And it was just really great. It's like the Caribbean out there. There's so many big fish and turtles and stuff. And I got out and I saw some red ants up on the hill where I'd parked. And walking back up from the river, The Brazilian fire ants have come in and killed most of them. There's these big ants that I grew up seeing. And I shot a video called Of Ants and Men. It's linked up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I just posted it about an hour and a half ago. Uploaded it as I drove into work from the swim. And I talk about Plato's allegory of the cave, coming out of the cave. And this guy says, Alex Jones believes in the philosophy of Plato, the philosopher kings must rule and should be appointed by self-proclaimed enlightened think Illuminati kingmaker, historically called the emperor. This is the garbage that has spawned tyranny time and time again throughout history. Alex Jones is human garbage riding the wave of tyranny. Democracy and government at the founding. Democracy translates literally the people's strength. The population has armed and demanded rule by the will of the people. Well, number one, I support the Republic, so I can get what you're saying that I support Plato, but not his Republic. He was the original proto-eugenicist. I can take some things he said and then leave others, like the allegory of the cave, people in a cave looking at projections like a television. It's profound, really, and coming up out of the cave to the larger world. That I was talking about. But that doesn't mean I endorse the philosopher king, because the philosopher king still builds a centralized system. And even though they can create a golden short period, corrupt people will take the place of the philosopher king and create the ultimate hell. But just as a republic produces so much wealth that comes out of tyranny, striving for liberty creates a great republic and wealth, then the generations become decadent. The generations become corrupted because liberty produces so much wealth, so that creates its own cycle. So I analyze the different cycles. And so just saying come out of the cave like Plato's allegory does not mean I endorse Plato, even though I've read, I don't know, a couple of his books. I mean, it's very interesting stuff. I first read one when I was about 12 because I heard that, you know, he wrote about Atlantis as if it was real. I wanted to see what the historian and philosopher Plato had to say. But I've read the other philosophers as well. I've read Nietzsche. Doesn't mean I agree in the Uber mention and, you know, having visions on the toilet. I have my visions out on top of rock, you know, looking up into the stars. I have my visions watching my children play around, you know, and swim in the edge of the lake. I have my visions, thinking about all that's good. We're going to go to break here, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come back after this quick break, Dr. Steve Pachinik is on the line with us. Infowars.com.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, we're live, have the free iPhone and Android apps and the listen page at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Just click on the tab. And we, of course, our weekday simulcast on XM 166. This is the Sunday live transmission. We're into hour number two, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Central, live across the country and re-aired on many other fine stations out there. I want to say hi to all our new affiliates and listeners. Be sure and support our local AM and FM affiliates by spreading the word and sponsoring them as well. And be sure and support us with all the great books, films, materials at InfoWarsStore.com. Forgot to plug last hour, and that's how we fund our operations. It is 5:07 Central Standard Time. We're going to go to Dr. Steve Pachinik. It's 7 a.m. Monday morning on the DMZ in the dividing line between North and South Korea with the global crisis, with them threatening to launch a missile and not saying if it has an atomic bomb on top of it, threatening to nuke. It's weird having a weirdo dictator who reportedly has ICBMs that many doubt can actually reach the middle of the country, much less the West Coast, saying he wants to nuke Austin. And I'm sitting here in Texas with some crazy inbred control freak, hereditary dictator, who's a communist, of course, the ultimate tyranny, saying he's going to nuke me and my family. Very, very, very bizarre. Dr. Steve Pachinik, one of the most famous hostage negotiators and crisis negotiators, helped get the Camp David Accords through, the only peace deal that ever really did anything in the Middle East. StevePachinik.com, co-wrote the books with Tom Clancy, has a bunch of big Hollywood movies. He's an MD and PhD, Harvard University, MIT. Very interesting guy. He won't ever, I got to get him on sometime and make him talk about overthrowing countries and all the rest of it. He'll never, you can pull up his name if you want to read that. Just serious guy. Amazing we have him on. He was the first guy to expose bin Laden was dead back in 2002. Member of the real government, or was, Council on Foreign Relations. We're going to talk to him in a second, but briefly, welcome to Planet Hoax. This is the April issue of InfoWars Magazine, a great tool. Everybody's getting out of print. We got into print. We dominate digital, dominate alternative news, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. But welcome to Planet Hoax, the war on reality. This gets into the fact they denied there were drones. Now they admit they were told to lie. Robert Gibbs. They said there weren't 2 billion bullets. Now they've admit they were told to lie. It's full of more than 10 major hoaxes. Well, actually, one article's 10 major hoaxes. I don't know, 20, 30, major hoaxes that the establishment has been caught in over and over and over and over again in the new issue. You can buy them in groups of 10 up to 100 at cost. Big color, glossy magazine. Great way. It has the Dianne Feinstein centerfold in it. I'm not joking. It's an April Fool's joke. It's not pornographic. Don't worry. Except that kind of makes you like Dianne Feinstein. It's her head on Betty Page with a devil tail. The point is, so maybe I don't like it. I disavow it. We won't do it again because I don't like looking at Feinstein having a good feeling. Anyways, the point is, it's in the new magazine, InfoWarsStore.com. Get them in bulk. Give them to people. Wake folks up today. It is an InfoWar. You heard the MSNBC hoax. Been part of the Department of Education saying the collective owns your children, like this is North Korea. No, they don't. Fight back, and these tyrants will dissipate like phantoms at dawn, to quote Thomas Jefferson. Okay, again, going to Dr. Steve Pachinik. We're going to break here in about 6 minutes. He's going to be with us for most of the rest of the hour, reporting from the DMZ. He was in the State Department chairing that area previously, was involved with the Korean government, so he's been inserted by himself. He offered the government to go, which he's done in the past, and they didn't want his help. But he is reporting for us exclusively and at StevePachinik.com. And so he's got some breaking news since he talked to us Friday from the demilitarized zone in what many analysts say could be the trigger for World War III. And the media has been saying, well, we need a psychiatrist on the ground. He is a real psychiatrist, not a quack psychiatrist, in his own words. Doc, good to have you on with us. Tell us what the latest is from the DMZ.
Alex, it's always a pleasure to be on, and I always come on your show because there is really a reality check on what is happening. What is happening on the DMZ, it's quite cold. We've had rain, and we've had a lot of snow on the eastern part. What we see happening is troop movements from South Korean troops moving in tanks, and young 18 to 19-year-old boys in the Republic of Korean Army, which basically they have to serve about 18 to 24 months mandatory service. Many of them are highly inexperienced, as many of our soldiers were in the Korean War. Some of them talk to me. Their officers try to get them away from me. I talk to them. I asked them if they were afraid. They said yes, but are they really scared of a major war? They said they're not sure because there's so much war talk going on and warmongering that they feel that in the past this has not come to life. In turn, I was able to get access to some of the most unusual of our own military, which is special forces. I can't identify them, but I've always had a great respect for our special forces since 30 years ago. I was part of really developing the special forces units out of Fort Bragg into a elite Delta Force unit, and talking to them.
Sure. In fact, you were involved, that's on record, in the creation of Delta Force, in 1979?
That's correct. And what I talked to them about, and again, remember, I am not allowed to, I was forbidden by our intelligence organization, our State Department, our embassy, our KCIA, whom I worked with, and including the Blue House here and the ROK, Republic of Korean Army, I have been totally forbidden to access anyone. So I really am doing this on my own on behalf of you and really the American public. I'm not a hero. I'm simply doing what you're doing, although I didn't read Plato and Nietzsche. And when I did, I had to go to a textbook to see what they meant. But let me get to the point. The point here is what one of the very smart Special Forces soldiers said to me. He said, look, Doc, for over 20 years since the Cold War, and he knew who I was, we have not had a strategy. We have not had a complete overall world strategy. All we have been doing is reacting to situations which we sometimes create, often create through our military industrial
complex. So it's a rotting stalemate.
Well, it's not just a stalemate. We get into situations which we cannot control. And this is the problem we have now. Let me make it very clear. I have worked with the North Koreans. I have negotiated with the North Koreans. I knew Kim Jong-il. I knew Kim Il-sung, his grandfather. And let me tell you a little bit about the notion that this media, including CNN and Wolf Blitzer and his nonsensical crew of morons who are saying that this is a black box. North Korea is not a black box. For 30 years, we have known everything about North Korea. It's not just as a psychiatrist, but there have been other colleagues of mine in the CIA, including Don Gregg, Jim Lilly, who were in the CIA and were our phenomenal ambassadors, again, under Bush Sr. People underestimate how much Bush Sr. had kept things quiet, and we did not precipitate any conflicts. What happened, in effect, is we understand very well the pattern of behavior where the North Koreans, when they need help, they continuously bang, bang, and then try to get us to the negotiating table when we put on a restriction on them or an embargo, and then they force us to try to come to a negotiating table with them and make concessions. At times, we would make concessions. Often, we would not make concessions. The concessions often rotated around food. The reason food is important in North Korea, and people have not emphasized this, this is a country of 22 million communists who are impoverished, not just starving, but literally impoverished. And the only thing that they can do is not come over the DMZ zone, although I do see some of them trying to approach it. I do see machine gun racks in the distance. I do see their installations of artillery guns. But I'm not worried about that because I know the military situation and the force structure of the North Koreans. And quite frankly, we in the national security area previously and even presently know that all of the equipment in North Korea is really antiquated. It's old 20-year-old Soviet equipment.
All right, doctor, we got a long segment coming up. We're going to come back, give you the floor to break down what you said the danger is. And here's the big question. is this like the Berlin Wall about to fall? Could North Korea be preparing to collapse? Because this is 3-4 times the rhetoric we've ever seen. You agree with that Friday. What's the real danger in the West getting into this hype, using it as a domestic political diversion? Could this cause the implosion in North Korea, into China and South Korea? What does that signify? You said Friday this could cause World War III. We'll see the real danger straight ahead and with where Obama's dropping the ball.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network. We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
You know, before Dr. Pechenik leaves us, I want to play a clip for him of MSNBC saying your children belong to the government. I mean, this is just authoritarianism 101. They're really making their move. Maybe they have to move to North Korea to be free once they've taken over. He's there on the DMZ. If you're a TV viewer, he sent us photos of him there right on the edge of North Korea. And again, when he was in the State Department, he was actually over that area. He knows all those people. That's why. He hinted when he was on a few weeks ago when this crisis was bubbling that he'd go there. And we get an email Friday morning, I'm here, I'm ready to report. He's got a government-assigned person with him. Pretty amazing to have him actually up there reporting on what's happening. And he's done negotiations with these people before Kim Jong-un's dad, Kim Jong-il, so he can speak about it. You can pull it up where he was arrested once by Assad's dad in Syria. I mean, pretty wild. We got to get Pechenik on sometime. In fact, the next interview about just all the wild stuff he's done that's not classified. But, I mean, instead of just reading it in the newspaper, you know, like manipulating the Red Brigades into killing the Italian prime minister who they already had kidnapped. Is that true? Is that a lie? By the way, is that true when the London Telegraph says that, or is that a lie, Dr. Pechenik?
What does the London Telegraph say? I don't read it. I won't read it, but let's get to the key mission. The London Telegraph's not relevant to anything.
No, I understand. So you're there. What's the big... They're supposedly loading the missiles with warheads,
right now,
threatening
a
nukes.
Are the missiles capable of hitting South Korea? Are they capable? Yes. Will they do it? No. The reason they cannot do it is because they don't want to destroy the very basis of which they're going to be the part of South Korea. In other words, the overall strategy for the United States, South Korea, and North Korea, and China is to have what we call a soft landing. For Kim Jong-un, who is not crazy, by the way, he's very predictable and he's very rational, he really has no desire to destroy anything, including the East Coast, the West Coast of America, or South Korea. Number one, he has a deliverable system, which is not really very functional. It's the missile systems are old, they're antiquated, what we call the single strike kill probabilities are very low. Usually they're rated at 90%. In his case, they're rated at about 1%. And same with our missiles. Our missiles were always rated at 90% as single strike kill probability, but they never really got out of the silo. And when they did, they really fell on the ground. So the missile strikes itself are just using as a bargaining technique. I think Chuck Hagel, our Secretary of Defense, understands this very well. He has done an excellent job of saying, I will not put missile systems on the West Coast because it will provoke him. I think Chuck, who has understood the Vietnam War and the necessity to manage pre-conflict and pre-wars, has done an excellent job.
I mean, modern cruise missiles are the threat, not antiquated 1960s ICBMs that even if you have rocket scientists working on them around the clock, it's very hard to get them out of the silos. These idiots can't even make a car. So it's a hoax to get food and to get oil. So if this is their biggest saber rattling ever, does this signify the North is preparing to collapse, which is the real danger?
Well, it's a good point, Alice. It's not signifying that they're preparing to collapse. It's signifying that they're afraid of collapsing because of the UN embargo and the fact that we have effectively really tightened the amount of commodities and food that they have had. The real problem for North Korea is not America. It's not South Korea. The
it's
real
them.
Problem for North Korea is China.
Yeah.
Because North Koreans, 22 million, will not come over the border of the DMZ. I can see them. They've been kept away by the North Korean soldiers. And basically what's happening, they will head west into China and storm over the borders of China. So it's China who's really manipulating a lot of the situation now in order to pay back the American troops and American foreign policy for what we're doing now with Japan, because we're aligning ourselves with old enemies. Japan was our old enemy. It's become our new friend. China was our old enemy, our old friend, and now it's become our new enemy. Korea, South Korea, was really an old enemy because it was part of the Japanese Empire. Most people don't realize
South
Korea was started by...
So why are they doing all this saber-rattling? And why did you say, Friday, this could trigger a wider war or World War III? And you
because if you're not managed correctly, and fortunately we do have Hagel and we do have John Kerry who's coming here, and our embassy is keeping everything cool. But the real issue underneath all of this is having somebody like myself, who I don't see, not because I'm so wonderful, but I've had 30 years experience working with the North and South Korean, understanding the psychological manipulation and the manipulation of psyops. This is a complete psychological warfare. So when you hear things like that we don't understand the black box of North Korea, it's absolutely wrong. They are predictable. They're not crazy. They're rational.
It's a communist Chinese puppet. It's a communist. It's a Chinese communist puppet state.
Not really only Chinese communist puppet. Let me make it even clearer, Alex, to your audience. Kim Jong-un has spent 15 years in Switzerland. You and I have barely spent one day in Switzerland. He has been raised to be spoiled, entitled. He's very shy. He's very awkward. He was not very smart at school. I know the exact school he went to in Switzerland because I was there in boarding school, but unlike him, I was kicked out after 1 week for being too American. But he is basically, we know everything about Kim Jong-un, and we know everything about Kim Jong-il, because they have a compound in Switzerland. So you have the very rich and the very spoiled who drive Maserati, smoke Yves Saint Laurent cigarettes, drink Johnny Walker, things that we don't do, and they're running a state called North Korea or communism. In my world, the only people who can be communists or afford to be communists are multimillionaires, and that's the case with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, I mean, it's total bizarro world, absurdism past the 10th power. So let me ask you this question. What do you expect to happen then? Because you were saying Friday it was bad management building up their power when Kim Jong-un or N can't even wipe his own butt.
Well, what I'm expecting to happen is if he's totally out of control, and he's controlled primarily by his uncle and his aunt. The aunt is the sister of his father. She controls him. And then there's one other person, I don't want to get into the Korean name, who deals with the Chinese. The real issue here will be for John Kerry and for Chuck Hagel to get to Li Peng of China and explain to them very quickly, if they don't cease and desist to provoke Kim Jong-un into this situation, serious problems will occur in China and in the Sea of China. This has nothing to do really with Kim Jong-un. What you have to look at, what there is a distraction and deception that's purposely created by the Chinese against the United States. The ones who are really calling the shots are now the new leader, Li Peng of China, who is a technocrat, who also was spoiled.
So China wants to make us take care of their problem, North Korea. The answer is laugh at them, make fun of Kim Jong-un and Dennis Rodman, instead of acting like they can actually attack America.
Well, you can laugh at them. I wouldn't necessarily laugh at them. He's a fat boy, you know, who's kind of shy. He's awkward. And normally in a high school in America, Kim Jong-un would be considered a geek and he would be bullied. You don't need to do that. You just ignore him. What you really do is strategically do what the SINCPAC, our Navy, has done, which is to cut off the Straits of Malacca, get into the China Sea, and make sure that there's no conflict between the Chinese, the Vietnamese, and the Filipinos over the Straits, over the China Sea oil. This is always about oil and economic opportunity.
And that pirate-filled zone. When we come back, how do you expect this to end? How would you like it to end versus where you think it's going? You seem more happy since you were on Friday when you were reporting.
Well, and the discrepancy between what we hear in the rhetoric that's absurd in the newspapers of America and what I see in South Korea, where they're far more constrained.
All right. Well, let's break it down straight ahead. We're going to be right back. InfoWars.com.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
A That's right. I'm in the United States, captured by six foreign megabanks who are above the law and pay no taxes. They've signed me on, and you and your entire family as well, to their $1.5 quadrillion in derivatives. And they are openly trying to wreck the family, shut down competition, open the borders, take our guns. And there's a new Army report out. Their new manual says Christians, period, are extremist terrorists. Including, they say Orthodox Jews are extremist terrorists. That's Fox News up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And in the next segment, I want to ask Dr. Pechenik his political views, because he's a really interesting guy, on all the things that are happening. I know he's worked under five different administrations. Of course, you can find out more about him, who's co-written some of the books with Tom Clancy as the technical expert and is a composite character of the Jack Ryan. So kind of the Jack Ryan individual on with us right now, Steve Pechenik. Dr. Steve Pechenik is a psychiatrist and a medical doctor and wrote the book on psychological warfare in the late 70s that still the Bible used in a lot of intelligence agencies today. He's very critical of all the deception that goes on right now today and the authoritarianism. Okay, so talk to me like I'm 5 years old. Friday, you're saying there is a danger of war, but only because it's being overhyped and giving North Korea the idea of power, which may make Kim Jong-un toddling around like a bizarrest joke actually feel like he has power. The communist Chinese are now freaking out, saying don't cause problems, North Korea, which is that a capitulation? Geopolitically, you call it a psyop. Break down the different angles, Dr. Pechenik. And then I want to ask you a big question. I'm going to ask you a big question. And of course, that question is there a way to fix North Korea? Will it ever unify, or is it too bizarre? This guy's saying, I'll nuke you, I'll kill you, even if he doesn't have the capacity. You know, they've got DU Shabo meteor guns in space. What would happen if he was taken out? Because when somebody says, I have nukes, I'm loading, I will kill you, if somebody came to my house with a gun, whether it's loaded or unloaded, and said, I'm going to kill you, I'm not going to wait and see if it's loaded, I believe, and I don't even support war, people know that, I believe the guy should be taken out, but I don't want him to be taken out. I'm saying we have a right to take him out. Go ahead.
Here's the worst-case scenario. The worst-case scenario is what happened underneath his father, Kim Jong-il, and his grandfather, Kim Il-sung. Kim Il-sung went overboard when he blew up an entire dais where there was South Korean officials, including major senior officials, and he overreacted. But we were able to work that backwards. Under Kim Jong-il, his father, he had blown up ships and he had blown up an island where they use it as a kind of pro forma to show the world that they're quite serious.
And hijacked ships like the Pueblo.
Correct. And also shoot down the Korean airline. Now, what happens in a game like this in psychological warfare, and, you know, we can't control all the variables, but you have to be able to estimate most of the variables, is that they literally do overreact. And the overreaction in this case would be where, in fact, a missile strike could accidentally get into one of the areas that they had not intended, where, in fact, one of the commanders underneath Kim Il-sung could literally decide to defect and become a renegade and try to approach the DMZ, although that's not likely because it's highly mined and we have a lot of forces ready to go. In fact, in the old days, we had to hold back the Republic of Korean Army with PLO, oil, lubrication, and petroleum. But the reality is that at this particular point in time, if there isn't that extreme exercise, and if we can't decrease the rhetoric from our news media, which is the worst part of it, because the South Korean people have been complaining to me everywhere that particularly CNN and a lot of our media are hyping up this notion of missiles and missile strikes. They find it very disgusting and very insulting because most South Koreans here that I'm working with and talking to, even on the DMZ zone, are very calm, even though they're cautious. They're calm, they're relaxed, they go through an everyday activity, they do what they have to do, they live their life normally, but they resent this overlay of warmongering that's being created by our military-industrial complex and our communication system. Let me give you an example. They know very well that within days of the time that we had a crisis starting, guess who came in to sell airplanes? European Airlines, the one that makes Airbus, came in with a $7.7 billion contract. In turn, Lockheed Martin came in for an F-35 Joint Strike Fighter for $7.7 billion. Boeing came in for the F-15 Silent Eagle contract. And then then another one, McDonnell Douglas and other company, Lockheed Martin, came in with an F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, all trying to sell to the Korean Army fighter jets that they don't need. That right now, they don't need it. Right now, Hyundai, Samsung, LG, and SK, these major Zaibatsus are doing extremely well, and they resent the fact that the United States military-industrial complex and the communication systems that are run by the Northeast, the Midwest, and by the military-industrial system is imposing on them military requirements that they don't need and want. They want to create a society which can expand. In that process, if in fact we alienate the South Koreans, who are now being run by a very effective president named Ms. Park, who is the first woman president of South Korea, whose father I knew because he was assassinated right after the time I was here. I was not involved in the assassination. General Park is very well aware of what it means to have assassination and killing. She's not interested in the assassination of Kim Jong-un. That will not accomplish anything. You cannot assassinate leaders at this particular point in time when, in fact, they're being managed by the Chinese and other countries.
Sure, they'll put another titular figurehead scumball in.
He's a titular head. You know, he's a kid who's absolutely spoiled, who spent time in Switzerland. But the real strategic issue now is who is going to control the oil and the military-industrial requirements of the South China Sea, including Korea, Vietnam, the Philippines, Japan.
Sure. So it's being used as a kamikaze or as a set piece, a proxy state to do this. Dr. Pechenik, you're a really smart guy, so I'm asking your real opinion on this. Where do you expect this to go? I mean, will I be a grandpa and there's the fifth hereditary dictator of North Korea, and instead of 30 million people like 50 years ago, there are 23 million, and there's 1 million of them?
No, I expect that within the period of time that I've been here, since I was involved in the transition from Chundu Nanotuwa to from military dictatorship in South Korea to civilian. You have to remember, there was a military dictatorship. Carter and Reagan sent me here, and I made that transition to civilian. Within 20 years, this country has expanded so quickly that it makes our country look pathetic. It's clean.
And by the way, you're not bragging. Growing. Every time you say this stuff, I go and look it up and find where you were involved in the negotiating team to get rid of the military dictatorship that I was already aware of the history of, because I'm obsessed with history. And you were a key guy, suggesting the psychological stuff. I was watching a documentary, and it said the psychological team of the State Department recommended that they still give it one more day. And then in the Camp David peace deal, it happened, and that was you. So you really have been there at so many key historical points. What scares me is what you said Friday. You offered your help a week ago, before this even was really going, or a week and a half ago. They didn't want your help now. Every other administration has. What does that say? Are they smoking their own dope, drinking their own Kool-Aid?
Because no, what it says is basically, thanks to you and me and the fact that the American public has supported us, the day I said that 9/11 was the stand down, the day I said that Bush Jr. was a criminal, that Cheney was a criminal, that our war in Iraq was a disaster, and that the generals involved were criminals, the day I said that Obama came in and lied about Osama bin Laden, he lied about Benghazi, he lied about Sandy Hook, that made me persona non grata in my own country. I have a better access to get into North Korea and the DMZ zone in South Korea and even China, my ostensible enemies, than I have in my own country. My own military intelligence said to me, good luck and goodbye. I got into the KCIA U.S. Embassy, which normally affords a deputy assistant secretary a normal, professional recognition from the past. There's no recognition. So basically, I'm persona non grata.
Sure, they're scared of you. They're scared of you. I mean, in the land of the blind.
They're scared of me. I don't particularly care. It's not about me.
No, I understand. It's about not having World War III. We got to go to break. But in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Steve Pechenik, Dr. Pechenik's our guest. I'm Alex Jones. If you're just tuning in for the first time, our websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We're streaming video there right now.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic.
It's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm having conversations with Dr. Steve Pachinik during the break and forgetting that we're live back on air. We only ran 30 seconds of intro music, right? Okay, it's good. I didn't know. I was like, whoa. I'm like, I've been talking a while here. We're having some interesting discussions there off air. Bottom line, why did you go to Korea? Where do you think it's going, Dr. Pachinik? You know, one of the most famous hostage negotiators, crisis negotiators out there, helped get the Middle East peace deals going. What do you expect to happen? What do you expect to do, you know, to see happen with the missiles being loaded, they claim? Or is that just more of a push by North Korea to get more oil and food? And if they're this desperate now, when they do fall apart, what do you expect to happen? You said implode into China, implode into South Korea. How is there any way to ever fix North Korea and get aid to those people under the cult of the state?
Yes. Let me start for the first question. Number one, the day I finished my interview with you, which you were so grateful about, on Sandy Hook, where I told you it was a false flag, I knew that Obama and his White House choir boys would start another false flag in Korea. I could see it. I could smell it. So I got on the plane the next day without anybody's permission. I was told not to go. I came here, and I wanted to report directly to you and the American public, went on to the DMZ zone in other parts of North Korea, which I cannot describe because of the past experience. And I knew that there would be escalation of rhetoric and an escalation of behavior, which I wanted to see and monitor directly to the American public, particularly the Alex Jones show, because I couldn't trust the media, I couldn't trust our CIA, I couldn't trust our military intelligence, I couldn't trust our government. As simple as that. And what I saw happening was that there was a total disconnect between what was being said and what the reality was on the ground here at the DMZ zone, where I saw some movements, but very little movements on the part of the North Koreans. I had a lot of rain, a lot of cold weather, and I saw a lot of the ROK, or Republic of Korean Army soldiers.
So that's good news. There's not a real mobilization to invade the South.
No, there is no mobilization to invade the South. And furthermore, from past history, I know very well as our military commanders do, that the 2.2 million men that are officially in the Korean Army, North Korean Army, are totally useless. They're hungry. They have no equipment. All the equipment is antiquated. The ammunition is antiquated. And they have no desire or capability to really invade through the southern section. Number two, the key issue here is not the invasion. It's really the fact that psychologically they want to create a scenario, a psychodrama, where we come back to the table, we, the United States of America, come back to the table and offer them food, assistance, so that they can have a soft landing, or what we call the sunshine policy over 30 years. Now, what is a soft landing? The soft landing means that we know from past experience, particularly in the Bush administration, which, again, I was involved with, when we amalgamated or joined East Germany and West Germany, we made a mistake in 1991 by not figuring out that East Germany had so much economic burden to it that West Germany could not absorb it. In turn, we translated that problem to South Korea and North Korea. There is no way that South Korea can absorb North Korean problems and economic dysfunction.
So how does it end then? How do you see it ending? Is there any good ending?
I see it positively ending if we get out of the way. If we stop this agitation and we stop these false flag operations, we stop this incredible amount of military industrial
production. So bottom line, the military industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about wants to keep it going to sell more weapons, but all the money is worthless if we start World War III with the Chi-Coms.
Exactly. But ironically, Alex, your audience has to understand, we lost every war since World War II. We lost the Korean War, and it was Eisenhower, our general, one of the greatest presidents I've ever seen, who had to come in and draw the line on the DMZ. Nobody talks about the fact that was a great military general who had to create the peace and say, that's enough. We don't have that. We have a president who's not qualified, not competent.
Instead, they just keep the wars going.
Who's not qualified.
Well, listen, I don't want to have war with North Korea either, and I know the globalists are corrupt, and there's all these influences, but we invade Iraq, we ship al-Qaeda to Pakistan, our government's using al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria, it's incredible crimes going on, and then still the North Korean clear despots go on forever. I mean, the good die young, the evil states never seem to die either. I mean, I am just ready to see Kim Jong-un hanging like Mussolini being spit on. I want to free those people, but I get it's a set piece. How could they ever transition into a peace with the South?
Because we're doing it very slowly. The South Koreans have been very effectively creating like a military, a industrial complex.
Economic zone, sure.
K-E-O-S-O-N-G, where 54,000 North Koreans are already working, making over $700 million to the economy. And the North Koreans know this. But instead, what they want to do is to reaffirm the position of this little chubby fat boy from Switzerland who hasn't done anything and try to show that he's quite that he's in charge. In fact, only three people in charge, his uncle, his aunt, and the third person who deals with China. And the real puppeteer here is China. And if China is not warned to cease and desist, they will have problems internally. And I can help them have problems internally because, number one, they have social disturbances of about 150,000 riots on a normal year in China. They have water deprecation.
By the way, I agree with you. People keep saying China's going to take over. The CFR says
no,
that. China is on the verge of imploding.
China's in such bad state, it's worse than North Korea, because at least North Korea, we can stabilize. China, we can't. China has now economically defaulted on loans. They've given out loans that they can't
monitor. Sure, so let me stop you. Here's my bottom line. You're a smart guy, historian, psychiatrist, medical doctor, seen a lot, run black ops all over the world, brought down regimes with psych warfare. What do you expect to see with the basket case China and the basket case North Korea and the West as a basket case with delusional decadence? What do you expect to see?
I expect to see that we get a new government in the United States. That's the number one issue. We cannot have another Hillary Clinton, another Clinton who lies, another Democrat or Republican. We have to reconstruct the Constitution, re-employ new leaders of our country that come from the grassroots up, particularly governors who've been very effective in running executive positions. We have to decrease our government size. It is out of control. We have to close down the CIA 9000, close down Homeland Security, close down all these unnecessary, worthless organizations that do nothing to either increase our national security or increase our productivity. We will have to increase our manufacturing capacity and decrease the size of our banks and their corruption. In the meantime, in China, they have a major problem. If I wanted to create the destruction of China, it's far easier for me as a psychological warfare expert than to maintain, than to destroy North Korea. All I have to do is create a war between India and China, which is what's happening now, and arm India, arm China, and allow them to fight over water. So I'm not as worried about North Korea. North Korea will be quietly brought down. Hagel has done a very good job of doing that. Kerry's coming over here and maintaining the quietness. The problem we have in America, and that's the greatest problem we have, is our national leaders since Clinton, who was a pathological liar and created a lot of wars and created rendition, then followed by Bush Jr., the moron of morons, who should have been indicted for war crimes, went to Iraq, Afghanistan, and then Obama, who's totally a CIA bred and born operative who knows absolutely nothing about world affairs or running domestic affairs. He's talking about abortion. He's talking about Obamacare. He's talking about gun control. When we have to worry about national, we have to worry about our economy and jobs and jobs.
Exactly.
Jobs.
As a Ford Foundation.
In America.
As a Ford Foundation infiltrator of the national security complex, he just wants to conquer America. And instead, even if they want an empire, they're going to lose the empire if they don't save the original republic. You can clearly see the writing on the wall. No amount of bullets and armored vehicles is going to save them from the collapse of the American system. And if they don't get off the back of liberty, they're going to make our engine stall and the whole plane's going to crash.
Well, I'm going to have a much more predictive element to that. I wrote about 20 years ago that, in fact, if the federal government continues to expand in size and its powers and its internal suppression of our systems, we will have a potentially a second civil war between the states that, in fact, have the resources like Texas, Florida, Utah, the Midwest versus the eastern states. Right now, the Council on Foreign Relations, all the eastern think tanks like Brookings, USIP, RAND are useless, and they're being funded by all of us to create policies that have absolutely no meaning. The West Coast is totally meaningless.
I tell you what, doctor, I want you to get some sleep. We're back on the radio tomorrow. How long are you in Korea?
I will be here a few more days to serve you and our American public.
All right, well, let's get you set up. Well, we're going to get you set up for a report tomorrow sometime during the three-hour show. Chris, pick 30 minutes
no
to
problem.
Do it. All right, thank you so much, Dr. Pachinik.
Thank you, Alex, and thank you, America. But I want everybody to understand Alex is not a conspiratorial individual. I don't think there's anybody in the mass media who really understands Plato and Zarathustra as well as Alex does.
All right, we're not going to have the Gooderdammerung quite yet, my friend. I hope not. The Ragnarok. All right, retransmission starts now, InfoWars.com. See you back tomorrow.